towards the floor, but with a certain reluctance, and it was easy to hurt your head against the ceiling if you took too ambitious a stride. There were many such bays, each servicing a cluster of momios. There were 6 sleeper modules attached around this part of the spine, each of which held 10 individual cryogenic berths. The trains reached no closer, and almost all equipment and supplies had to be manhandled from this point, via laddered shafts and winding crawlways. There were freight elevators and handler robots, but neither was used very often. Robots in particular needed diligent programming and maintenance, and even the simplest task had to be spelled out to them as if they were particularly slow-witted children. Usually it was quicker just to do it yourself. That was why there were so many techs, usually leaning against the pallets looking bored, smoking homemade cigarettes or tapping styluses against clipboards, doing their best to look semi-occupied despite the fact that nothing was actually happening. The techs generally wore blue overalls flashed with section decals, but the overalls were usually ripped or amended in some fashion, exposing crudely tattooed skin. Sky knew all of them by face, of course. On a ship with only 150 warm human beings, it was difficult not to. But he had only a vague idea what their names were, and next to none about the kinds of lives the techs lived when they were not working. Off-duty techs tended to keep to their own parts of the Santiago, and they tended to socialize amongst themselves, even to the extent of producing their offspring. They spoke their own patois, drenched in carefully guarded jargon. But something was slightly different now. No one was lazing around or trying to look busy. In fact, there were hardly any techs in the room at all, and the few that were here looked edgy, as if waiting for an alarm to go off. "What's the matter?" Sky said. But the man who stepped gingerly from behind the nearest tower of equipment pallets was not a tech. He brushed his hand across the chrome shoulder of a crouched handler robot, as if looking for support, sweat blistering on his forehead. "Dad," Sky said, "what are you doing here?"
"I could ask you the same question, unless this is one of your chores."
"Of course it is. I told you we worked the trains now and then, didn't I?"
Titus looked distracted.
"Yes.
Yes, you did. I forgot. Sky, help these men unload the goods and then get you and your friends away from here, will you?"
Sky looked at his father. "I don't understand."
"Just do it, will you?"
Then Titus Hausman turned to the nearest tech, a heavily bearded fellow with grotesquely muscled forearms folded across his chest like hams. "The same goes for you and your men, Xavier. Get all non-essential people out of here, all the way back up the spine. As a matter of fact, I want the engine section evacuated while we're at it." He flipped up his sleeve and whispered orders into his bracelet.
Recommendation, more accurately, Sky thought, but old man Balcazar would never fail to abide by Titus Hausman's advice. Then he turned to Sky again, blinking to see his son still present.
"Didn't I just tell you to get on with it, son?"
"I wasn't kidding."
Nocuenco and Gomez took their leave, accompanying a couple of techs to the waiting train, flipping open one of its freight covers and beginning the knuckle-grazing work of unloading supplies. They passed the boxes from hand to hand, out of the bay altogether, where they would presumably be lowered down the levels to the sleeper berths themselves.
"Dad, what is it?" Sky said.
He thought his father was going to reprimand him, but Titus simply shook his head.
"I don't know. Not yet. But there's something not right with one of our passengers. Something that has me a little worried."
"What do you mean, not right?"
"One of the bastard momios is waking up." He mopped his forehead. "That's not supposed to happen. I've been down there into the berth, and I still don't understand it. But it has me worried."